Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Okay, you had the talk and removed your teenager's privileges. When do you give privileges back? How do you keep from backsliding? Well, we'll answer these questions and more on this week's podcast, We Took a Stand and Made Some Progress. Now what? It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and I'm your host, Neil D. Brown. And I'm here to help you get that enjoyable family that you work for every single day. And if you have a question you'd like me to address on this podcast, come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and enter it for me there today. And while you're there, download a free copy of my Parental Burnout Recovery Guide. And please remember, this is an educational podcast, not a substitute for therapy when you need it. Today, we're hearing from Cindy, and Cindy hails from West Palm Beach, Florida. Cindy writes, "We read your book and loved it." Hey, thanks, Cindy. "We realized we are definitely in a control battle with our 15-year-old son. He became very disrespectful to us, and his grades and attitude towards school were dropping. We had the chat with him about the two things we were going to hold him accountable for, being respectful and putting his best effort into everything he does." Well, that's the ticket right there. "We then removed the three privileges he values, the phone, the PS4, and time with friends, and told him he would earn them back when we saw a sustained change." Now, your book did not mention a time frame, which made it hard, but I understand the reasoning. "So after 2 weeks, when we definitely saw a change, we gave him back his privileges in limited amounts. My question is this. What happens if we start to see him slip now that he has things back? Do we remove all privileges again? I could see this becoming a cycle. Is there any time frame you can recommend to know the behavior change will be maintained? He turns 16 in about a month, and the driving privilege is very important to him. Any suggestions would be appreciated." Okay. Cindy, thanks so much for your question, because there is a big issue here that many parents get hung up on. So this gives us a chance to put things in perspective and help you and many parents get and stay on track. Okay, removing privileges is a major takeaway, no pun intended, for many parents who read Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle. And it's not a bad thing. It sends the message that kids need to straighten out their act. And so, every once in a while, parents withhold privileges and kids straighten up. But if you are truly in a control battle, removing privileges won't get the job done by itself. Let's look at what the structure of a control battle is, because what we really want to do is change out of that destructive relationship structure. A control battle is where parents are trying to get their teenager to engage or stop certain behaviors, and the teen is trying to avoid those parental efforts. So it's teenager on one side, parents on the other. We want to change that to parents and teenagers on the same side, both with the same goal, a happy, successful teenager heading productively towards young adulthood, their next developmental stage of life. So, essentially, Cindy, what we want to do is shift from trying to get your kid to do his work and speak respectfully to helping your son learn and grow as he crosses the metaphorical footbridge from childhood to young adulthood. Now, I find the metaphor of a curved footbridge helpful when thinking about the adolescent journey. Adolescence is far from a fixed state. It's a very dynamic stage with many changes and challenges as kids move from their childhoods into early adolescence, their first steps up the footbridge, then middle adolescence on the top of the bridge, and then later adolescence heading down the footbridge towards their young adulthood. This journey goes more or less from age 13 to age 18. And from there, on to their young adulthoods. And by the way, young adulthood is still a neurologically developmental period, so it can also be thought of as the last stage of adolescence. All right. As kids take this journey, parents are taking it right along with them. As our kids move along in their development, they take on more and more responsibility. And as they do, the parental role changes. Early in the teen journey, parents provide a lot of the executive functions for them, especially planning and organization and accountability to make sure plans get executed. Now, as kids mature, they take over that function and do their own planning and organizing. So, for instance, a more mature teen will say to themselves, I'd better do my homework now because I'll be at the game tomorrow and I won't have time then. So, as kids mature and take on the primary responsibilities in their lives, the parental role shifts more towards advisor, mentor, and supporter. Sure, parents still need to have standards and limits and may need to set those limits assertively from time to time. But the overall balance of providing a kid's executive functions shifts as teens grow and they begin to use their brains, their executive function more independently. So, Cindy, one way we can look at what happened with your relationship with your son is that he needed more parental structure than he was getting. He wasn't mature enough to organize, plan, and manage his responsibilities independently. Not yet. You just gave him too much discretion over his use of time, and you and your husband and your son got into conflict about it rather than being clear and having accountability in place. Well, now you're clear, and you've put accountability back in place. Excellent. Way to go. And your question is, how do we avoid backsliding and constantly needing to withdraw privileges, which can be another version of the control battle? Okay, well, Cindy, what you can do is you can engage your son in a conversation based on the journey we're talking about. It might go something like this. Right now, it's clear that you need your parents to monitor how well you're managing your responsibilities and not let your devices, your games, and social time interfere. How about if we work together and figure out a good plan for ensuring that your responsibilities are prioritized and well managed so that you can enjoy some privileges? Now, as you grow and get good at this and can prioritize and manage your responsibilities more on your own, your dad and I can gradually back out and let you handle it. For now, we're offering you some privileges, and you and we can see how well you manage those. If they're too distracting, we can hold them back for a while longer, but if you can stay focused on your responsibilities and continue your positive attitude, then we'll all know you're ready for them. Okay, so we're putting the privilege thing in context here. It's not punishment. It's not consequences. What it is, are you developmentally ready to manage your responsibilities? That's all we're saying here. It's not shame. So instead of telling him he screwed up and needs to get his act together, you're telling him that he is learning and growing, and as he does, you have his back. That's what's going on. It's reasonable. And that you have faith in him and he'll continue to learn and grow. And that you know that. And of course you remember, Cindy, from the book that having faith in your teenager is a critical part of ending the parent-teen control battle. And it's a critical part of development. Kids need to know that we have faith in them so they can have faith in themselves. Now your son is on the cusp of 16 and he wants you to support him in his interest in driving. Well, Let's ask yourself the question, under what circumstances would you support that? What kind of maturity are you looking for? Probably it's when you know that your teenager intends to follow the rules and isn't looking for ways around them. And he demonstrates that with his school effort and how he responds to parental requests. He demonstrates that with the way he applies himself. Of course, he doesn't always get it right, and we're not going to expect that, but when he doesn't, does he respond to corrections, limits, and guidance in a reasonable way? You can talk about these issues and standards directly with your son, Cindy, and you can ask him to take some time and reflect on them, and then talk with you about it. If you just ask him flat out, he's going to say, yes, I agree, yes, I agree, yes, I agree. But when you say, no, go away, reflect on it, and then let's have a deeper conversation, that's a much better idea. So in short, what we're looking for with your son is more than a change in behavior, it's maturation, a change in attitude. Does he care? Is he committed to his best? Is he committed to growing his potential? If he is, he's setting himself up for a life of happiness and a life of success. And I don't want to tell you there's one form of success, but whatever he's going to call success is going to be his. Cindy, some other things to think about. Other than school, are there other healthy ways that your son is applying himself? A sport, a musical instrument, school club and activities such as cycling or rock climbing, for instance. Does he have a passion other than his games? You know, many kids at 16 think about getting a job, and a job offers not only the money, which he's going to need plenty of as he goes off onto the next phase of his life, but it does instill a sense of responsibility from a source other than parents. And so that's a big deal. Positive social engagement and self-development other than required basic responsibilities is an important part of adolescent maturation. Cindy, I'm proud of you and your husband. You took a great step forward, you're getting good results, and you're asking questions about how to continue your progress and not fall back into old patterns. And that's just plain fabulous. So parents of teens and folks who work with teenagers, we have to keep our thinking focused on growth and development, the journey to young adulthood, and not get caught up in control battles. Teenagers mature in different areas at different rates, so if your teen needs more structure than they have the capacity to provide for themselves, then make sure that structure is in place. Let's not focus on consequences and punishment when what kids need is structure and support. Let's provide it, and let's let them know that it's just until they build the skill for themselves. That way, instead of just being compliant, they're working towards something that they can be proud of. Thanks for tuning in today, everyone, and special thanks to Cindy for her terrific question. I'll remind everyone that an iTunes review would be greatly appreciated, and remember to take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parenting Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.